to Condo Craze and HOAs. We're here each Sunday at 11 on 850 WFTL in South Florida. I'm Karen Curtis, and we're here live. Yes, it's a new year. Happy New Year. And I'm here again today with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Sachs PA. Eric, of course, is board certified by the Florida Bar in Condominium and Plan Development Law. His firm has attorneys in Fort Lauderdale and Orlando. And we are here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. So we'd love to get a call from you. Get the phone lines going early, answering all of your condo and HOA questions. No matter where you are in the state, give us a call right here in the studio, toll free for free advice, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email Eric your questions, you could do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
All right. Good morning, everybody. If you're a fan of the show, of course, and like to read our blogs and newsletters, make sure to go to our website, condocrazeandhoas.com. Join our email list. By joining each week, you're going to get announcements about the show, our blog, our free seminars. I'll tell you soon when the next one's coming. Our newsletters, updates on the law, and a whole lot more. Our blog continues for another year. You can find that at hoa-condoblog.com every Monday. Again, hoa-condoblog.com. Tomorrow's topic, New Year's resolutions for board members and unit owners. In other words, that we all can follow. And first of all, like you did, Karen, I want to say Happy New Year to all our Condo Craze listeners. You know, thank God 2020 is behind us. 2021 is now ahead of us. We have the vaccine in place, right? People are getting them now. You know, it's not as quick as you'd like to see them, but hopefully better days lie ahead, right?
Yeah, we had, you know, of course, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, so the numbers are increasing.
Yeah, you had my nephew, I know, Dr. Katz, chief of the emergency room at Memorial Hospital East, on your morning show. And he said the numbers are not going to bode well after the holidays.
Ooh.
And we're going to have to get through the first quarter of 2021 before we start feeling better about the current situation that we're in. Unfortunately, my best buddy in New York calls me 3 days ago and says, yeah, I just got out of the, just went to the hospital. I wasn't feeling well. And his oxygen levels were below 94.
Oh, boy.
He wasn't feeling well at all, and they sent him home.
No.
So I called Dr. Katz and said, hey, this sound right to you that they sent, you know, and he knows.
Well,
him,
it's
knows
New York, Eric.
Yeah, right. You know, he lives in actually Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Sticks by the Poconos. And he says, and if it was me, no, I would have taken him in. I would have admitted
him.
He has
oxygen levels.
Sure enough, it took one day. He was so sick. He's in the hospital. You know, it's like a touch-and-go situation. Sure enough. Yeah, he can't talk. He lost the ability to talk. He's just, you know, coughing, and sitting here waiting for the results. But pretty crazy.
And know? Larry King as well, you know.
Yeah, it's still there.
But hopefully people are not as scared of this virus as they once were because, the numbers have gone up, the death rate has gone way down, and people are thinking, you know, if they get it, they can be cured.
Yeah, well, you know, as far as condos and HOAs go at the moment, Florida remains in a state of emergency, and as a result, those emergency powers remain in full force and effect for board members. You know, I have not been told that Florida is out of a state of emergency, and quite frankly, I don't see things changing for a while.
Right.
You know, no large get-togethers at board meetings and in your condos and your HOAs continue to Zoom. And in fact, it's made the papers. It's gotten a lot of attention over the last few days. There's a crazy case that's going on in Boca Raton where a couple is suing their association because they actually revealed to the association that they both had COVID.
Okay.
And the condo association then used that information to shut off their fob key, which I believe prohibited them from access to certain of the common elements, like, you know, elevators and access to certain areas.
What? I mean, so the key fob deactivation was a way to force the husband and wife to stay in their condo for 2 weeks. I mean, they're like forcibly imprisoning them. Now, the condo then allegedly told the couple that the HOA would call the police to request that you be removed from the building or arrested if they attempted to exit the high-end building.
Yeah, exactly. So it's Stephen and Nancy Ickowitz are suing Palmetto Place at Meisner Park. They're suing them now for false imprisonment.
Oh, my gosh.
Invasion of privacy, negligence, you know, violation of other Florida laws and more. And needless to say, you know, it sounds like serious allegations when you look at it.
Well, can they release their health information?
Well, that's the question. They're saying they shouldn't release it. But as I've always taken the position on this show, if I'm a condo board member or an HOA board member, and I have information that someone is sick, and I use it, I abide by it. You know, I rely on that information to stay away from that person. But I don't share that with the community and someone else gets sick. Let me tell you something. I believe in my heart that that board member breached their fiduciary duty. I have no problem that the condo released that information.
What if the couple didn't tell the condo they had tested positive?
Well, I guess then the condo couldn't have shared that information.
No one would have gotten sued.
But they did the right thing by sharing it. You know, they shared it with the condo people on the board. So I don't think there's harm that the condo then took that information and shared it. They're alleging that the real problem lies in the fact that their fobs were shut off and they were, in effect, you know, held prisoners in their house.
Well, yeah. I mean, the management company for the condominium was also... This reminds me of the Italian case where the woman was locked in her apartment with her dead husband for days and she was screaming from the balcony. Okay. Anyway, and the complaint says defendant first... Of course, they filed a lawsuit. Defendant First Service Residential, through its agents and employees, had no reasonable basis for detaining Stephen Ikowitz and his wife, Nancy, against their will. No exigency of circumstance existed which could warrant the association's behavior. I don't know. I mean,
that's right out of the complaint. You know, so the management company was sued as well, and the allegations get worse. Defendant Association unlawfully intruded into the plaintiff's unit. After the deactivation of the fobs, such action deprived them of their liberties, including the ability to move freely within their rights in the unit. Now, here's the thing, though. Under the emergency power statute, remember, you know, everybody remember this. The board was sued here. But remember, the board had the power, too, based upon, you know, advice from officials and licensed professionals, determine any portion of the condo property unavailable for entry or occupancy by unit owners, family members, tenants, guests, agents, or invitees to protect the health, safety, or welfare of such persons.
But so this is one of those buildings. It's not like you walk out your front door and you're outside. Is it like...
Right. It's probably with a big lobby and stuff, you know.
Lobby and the elevator to your apartment.
Right. So their attitude was, well, this emergency power statute gave us the right to do all this to prevent these people from coming in to the common areas. There's this emergency power statute in effect. You know, we relied on it, and it seems reasonable for me, for a board, to tell people with COVID, hey, you can't use certain of the common areas unless medically necessary or essential. In other words, you got to walk through the lobby to get to your car to go to the doctor. No problem. I obviously, you know, that you can't tell people with COVID that they can't do that. But I think the law seems to allow for what the association did. But the problem might be in turning off the fob. But who knows how this case will ultimately be decided in Palm Beach County. I'd love to know what our listeners think. You know, today, how about you guys be the jury?
Yeah.
Did the board do the right thing, or did the board go too far?
So they could not leave the building at all.
Well, I don't know if they were completely prohibited from leaving the building. They probably had to walk down a staircase or something like that. I would agree that if they couldn't leave the building, couldn't get out of their house, you know, and actually get down to the first floor, of course that's a problem.
Well, that sounds like what they're alleging.
Yeah, if they still had access to get out of the building, no, I don't think it's a problem if they were prevented from using certain of the common areas. But again, love to know what our listeners think, right? Let's take our first break. 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Are the roads, parking lots, and walkways in your community association in need of repair? Driveway Maintenance can help. We are the largest seal coating company in the United States and have been an industry leader for over 57 years in asphalt restoration, asphalt paving, parking lot striping and maintenance, concrete sidewalks, curbing, or ADA parking lot compliance. Let Driveway Maintenance pave the way and make your community look great. At Driveway Maintenance, we believe in well-trained personnel, top-quality equipment, and materials, and friendly customer service. Our customers include office building complexes, educational facilities, hospitals, hotel chains, apartment complexes, and of course, condominium and homeowner associations, and the largest mall and big box retail companies in the country. Driveway Maintenance Inc. is a LEED accredited, Green Advantage certified, environmentally responsible, full service asphalt paving contractor and seal coating expert. Driveway Maintenance serves the entire state of Florida and most of the southeastern United States. Call Driveway Maintenance for a free estimate at 1-800-432-1191. That's 800-432-1191. And you can visit our website at driveway.net.
Need an insurance evaluation, audit, or quotation for your condo association or homeowners association? If so, then you need to speak with our insurance experts at Mack, Mack & Waltz. We insure over 800 associations, and we are the clear leader in this marketplace. Mack, Mack & Waltz has been in business since 1989. We write insurance on billions of dollars of property values. We are an independent insurance agency representing insurance companies which specialize in condo and HOA insurance. The staff at Mack, Mack & Waltz works closely with board members and property managers and regularly attends association meetings to help educate the association about their insurance policies. To learn more about how Mack, Mack & Waltz can save you money and improve your insurance program, call now 954-640-6225 and ask for Greg Waltz. 954-640-6225, Mack, Mack & Waltz Insurance Group. Let us protect your association.
Someday, you will need insurance. And for that day, you'll be glad you wrote down Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. Why? Because Insurco virtually insures everything. They're a full-line insurance agency that'll put together the best possible coverage and premium for almost anything. Need homeowners or condo insurance? Call Insurco. Need auto or motorcycle insurance? Call Insurco. How about golf cart insurance or trailer and RV insurance? Just call Insurco for a free quote. They're open every day. From renter's insurance, officer's and director's insurance, and personal liability umbrellas to all types of business insurance, boat insurance, cancer policies, life, health, and annuities. All you need is Insurco. Get a free quote. They service Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. Speak English and Spanish. Insurco Insurance and Financial Services. It's the only name you need. Office at 14401 West Sunrise Boulevard in Sunrise, inside Edmore Chevrolet.
Call 954-846-1206. 954-846-1206. That's 954-846-1206.
Is your home or condo looking old, worn out, and in need of a fresh look? Then you need PD Painting to paint your property and make it look like new again. PD Painting will first properly prepare your home and condo and then use only the highest quality paint products. After many years in the painting industry, PD Painting has achieved a reputation for always delivering a reliable and professional finish. PD Painting is fully licensed and insured and offers a 7 to 10 year warranty. Their technicians are expert craftsmen. Let PD Painting handle all the details and then sit back and watch them restore your property and bring back that brand new look and feel. Need a service call? PD Painting will be there on the spot. Need financing? PD Painting can offer that too. Call PD Painting at 888-416-3204. Again, that's 888-416-3204. Go to the website pdpaintinginc.com. Need painting done in your home and community? Contact the experts at PD Painting.
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer, and he specializes in community association law, taking your phone calls, any questions about your community association, whether you're a resident or on the board, have any questions. The number is 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
All right, let's take our first call of the new year, and the honor goes to Joe in Pompano. Joe. How are you, Joe?
Good morning, Eric.
How are you?
Good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
That's a very interesting topic that we have today, but unfortunately, I have to ask you your advice on something that is kind of driving our condo crazy, and this is on the emotional pet issue.
Right.
You know, we have always been a no-pet condo. It's in our rules and regulations, and actually people, when they come for an interview, they sign that they will adhere to these laws. So we all understand that now the game has changed, and when people have legitimate documentation, the doctor's note and all that stuff, we have to allow this to happen. But we also have in our rules and regulations that nobody can occupy an apartment or a unit without the approval of the board of directors. Why can't we use, we are finding in our community that people are moving in dogs first and looking for approval later.
Yes, and that's always the case.
Can't the board do anything to, you know, when we have a problem with somebody, we send them a letter that this has to be rectified in 10 days, or we can pursue legal avenues.
All right, Joe.
Let me try to answer your question.
Let me try to answer your question. So, yes,
can
it happens
keep
all the time.
Out until they get the right documentation, that's actually the question.
No.
Sorry to be so long about
no, that's okay. That's okay. But no, you can't kick the dog out. You are required to engage in the interactive process with them. So, it happens all the time. And, you know, you called up and you used the term no pet community. There's an argument that there's really no such thing as a no-pet community anymore, right? Because the ability to obtain a pet in a no-pet community is just has become, quite frankly, so easy. And it's not you're not getting a pet under the law. You're getting either an emotional support animal or a service animal, one or the other. So the question is, you know, somebody moves in, they say they don't have it, and then they get one. But the minute that the board complains that, hey, you have a dog in violation of the governing documents, what's the first thing they do? They're going to tell you, okay, I need it for emotional support or I need it as a service animal. Now, once they tell you that, you know, you can't take your position and say, okay, get out. You got to get the animal out until we're provided proof. Now you're required to engage in the interactive process. So what can you do? Right? What can you ask for? Well, the statute says if their disability is, you know, is apparent, you can't ask for anything, right? Mm-hmm. If their disability is apparent.
Really?
But oftentimes when the person is asking for an emotional support animal, the disability is not apparent. So what are you allowed to ask for? So, Joe, you're allowed to ask for reliable documentation. That's what this new statute says in Florida. By the way, it's 760.27.
And
reliable documentation.
And that's not the wheelchair tag hanging from your rearview mirror in your
car. Yeah, no, it's not just that. No, it's not. Now, reliable documentation can be a lot of things. You notice I did say, Joe, I didn't say you can ask for medical records.
Okay.
I said you can ask for reliable documentation. Now the unit owner has several ways to get you that reliable documentation. Yes, they can get you medical records from their doctor. They can also get you proof from the government that they're on some sort of a disability program, but they get housing disability benefits, something like that. So there's various different things they can give you that shows you that's reliable documentation showing the need for a service animal or an emotional support animal. And that information may even come from other family members. There's case law that suggests that that's allowed as well. But no, you can't say, well, in the interim, get the animal out. You're required to engage in the interactive process. If you don't, like I said, you guys are going to get sued and wind up at the defense table, not where you want to be. So I hope that answers your question, Joe. Okay? How about we go to, how about June in Delray?
June.
How are you, June?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Question. Our annual election's coming up. Ballots have been mailed. And I know for a fact, because I'm one of them, that some ballots have not been received.
Yeah.
Is this a legal election?
Yeah, even though some ballots might not have been received by people, the question is, were they mailed? And I can tell you the mail is so
far. They were mailed.
Far.
We were told they were.
Then the bottom line is that's all the association is required to do is to put them in the mail. And, you know, some people complain, I live out of the country. I live out of the state. I didn't get them. Well, you know, I can tell you what these people can do. If they have a friend that lives at the condo who has, you know, the ballot, they can email the person the ballot who didn't get it yet. And all that person has to do is put their vote in an envelope, right? Sign the exterior of the envelope, send it back to the condo, and that vote has to be counted. It's irrelevant that it's not the actual ballot that was sent to them. The person can print out their own ballot, vote, put it in an envelope, make sure they sign that envelope on the exterior, right? Put their name, print their name, put their unit number, send it back, and I can tell you that that ballot has to be counted.
Okay, very good. Thank you
okay.
so much.
Thanks, Gene. You got it. How about we go to Ken in Orlando?
Hey, good morning. Hey,
how are
you doing, Eric?
How are you, Ken? What's going on?
Good. Doing good. I am doing all the digitizing of our records for the HOA. I wanted to know what the rules were. Do I need to keep any of the paperwork once it's been digitized?
You know, there's no rules on that.
Well, that's a good
Pretty
point.
Interesting. I don't think there's any rules on that whatsoever. And you know, if you can save, you know, the requirement to store it and save space. You know, I don't think there's anything in the condo statutes that prevent you from doing
it. I mean, at least if you save it into the cloud, and
yeah,
so your website goes down, I think you're good.
Yeah, I think you got it as long as you maintain those records for 7 years, right? And just to remind everybody that what the law says, there's only one thing that you could throw out every year. The thing that you can throw out every year is last year's election documents, all the ballots, you know, all the envelopes and stuff, because after 1 year it becomes moot. So you can throw all that stuff out. But after that, it's generally 7 years for all documents. A couple of things have to be held since the inception of the condominium, and it's your declaration, it's your bylaws, it's your articles, it's your rules and regulations, right? It's the plans that were given to you by the developer. And how about this? The minutes of all of your board meetings must be maintained from the inception of your association. Now, how many of you actually have a minute book from the inception of your association? Probably less than 1% of you, right? But you're required to have them.
Really?
But good question, Ken. And I don't think there's anything in the condos or HOA statute which says you have to maintain the originals once they're scanned in. If you have them scanned in, you have them available, the records are available, then the bottom line is I think you're complying with the statute.
Great. Thank you very
much. Okay. You got it. Be well, Ken. Let's do this. Let's take our bottom of the hour break. Taking your calls. Keep them coming, everybody. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
The finer things. Spectacular wine, exotic vacations, or just the time to enjoy the view from your condo? Affinity Management Services gives you time to enjoy them. We provide full-service community association management, including site, administrative, and financial services. We handle everything from complaints and collection of assessments to emergency services and maintenance, giving you more time. Fully accredited by the National Board of Certification for Community Association Managers, we promise service delivered with integrity and respect. And we're endorsed by the Better Business Bureau for our streamlined and professional approach to quality service. Join hundreds of board members across South Florida and call us today at 305-325-4243. Affinity Management Services, simplifying your life to make time for the finer things. 305-325-4243. AffinityManagementServices.com.
Never wait for that first drop of water to leak from your ceiling before you decide to check your roof. Once damage sets in, repairs become more expensive. Invest in a true life cycle roof management program with Best Roofing and protect your building's assets. A roof management service agreement with Best Roofing will prolong the life of your roof, preventing premature roof failure. Let Best Roofing help your association save money with our annual service agreements that prevent leaks, provide emergency service, and increase the life expectancy of your roof. We give you a realistic budget, so there are no unwelcome surprises. Our roof service agreements also provide for cleaning all debris, minor maintenance, sealing and topping off all pitch pans, caulking, and more. And should a storm hit or other emergency occur, clients with service agreements get priority service. To schedule your free condo roof analysis, call Best Roofing at 954-941-9111. That's 954-941-9111. Visit our website at bestroofing.net.
Having problems with the drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA? Overwhelmed by the cost of replacement or repair? Call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463. Those old days of invasive repairs to your drain pipes and sewers are over. Thanks to trenchless pipelining and sewer repair by Pipelining Technologies, you don't have to worry about destroying walls, floors, sidewalks, or even landscaping. Pipelining Technologies can fix your drain pipes and sewers without interrupting the quality of life in your community and home. First,
the technician's video the source of the problem. Then the patented structural liner is inserted into your damaged pipes. The liner is then inflated to form a new pipe within the old one. And within hours, the job is finished. If drain pipes and sewers in your condo or HOA are failing due to cracks, corrosion, misalignment, tree roots, or they're just backed up, call Pipelining Technologies, 561-853-5463.
And be sure to view their website and 10-year parts and labor warranty at PipeLT.com. That's PipeLT.com.
This message is for anyone who has taken on the important responsibility of becoming an officer or director in a homeowner or condominium association. It is also for the management companies who work closely with these caring people to make sure things are done the right way. Hello, I'm Gil Pomar, South Florida Regional President for CenterState Bank, now the second largest bank based in Florida. Our bank, CenterState Bank, has an amazing team of professionals who are exclusively dedicated to the homeowner and condo association market. Your job is not easy. There are repairs and new projects that need financing. There are legal and social issues that need to be understood. There are also technology and servicing issues that your residents want to be improved. Why not choose a bank that knows this business backward and forward? Why not have a local banker who will meet with you face-to-face whenever it is convenient for you or your board? CenterState Bank has over 2,000 associations as customers for a reason. Please give us a chance to earn your business. Call Terry Russo at 954-633-1666 to make it happen. CenterState Bank is an equal housing lender and a member of the FDIC.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Praise and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. We're in a new year, so let's, you know, kick it off right and ask Eric questions about your condo, HOA, whether you're a resident or on the board, 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585.
Hey, there's another way to kick it off right, and it's by getting board certified by taking a class and not signing that dumb affidavit, right?
Right.
God, I hate that.
Yeah, I know.
We will get that changed this year. We will get that changed. That's a promise. Hey, next seminar, January 28th at 6 o'clock p.m. Again, January 28th, 6 o'clock p.m., board certification for both condo members and HOA members. And if you're a CAM, you also get your 2021 legal update credits. Okay, so you can take the class from the comfort of your own home, just watching your computer. We take questions at the end. Really a lot of fun. Cover a million different topics. And registration, very simple. You can go to the Condo Craze and HOA's website. All right. Or you can just call the office, 954-983-1112, 954-983-1112. I'm telling you, it's going to fill up fast, especially January, because January have lots of elections. So people get on in January and look for the course. Well, here it is. Again, January 28th, 6 o'clock p.m., board cert for condo and HOA members and legal update 2021 for managers. All right, back to the phones. How about we go to Joan in Hollywood?
Hi, am I on?
Yes, you are. How are you, Joan?
I am fine, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I do have a question about the annual election. Our annual election is coming up very rapidly.
Yes.
Unfortunately, last week, just prior to the holiday, one of the candidates suddenly passed away.
Right.
I am sure that probably 90% of the ballots have already been handed in.
Right.
We only have a couple of days left for others to hand in their ballots.
Yes.
How does or does it not affect the election process?
Well, the bottom line is obviously if that person gets elected, they obviously can't serve. You're just going to go down the list to the person that receives the next highest number of votes.
The whole phone, it's breaking up. I cannot hear you.
Yeah, well, but again, I don't know, you know, why there's a problem, but that person, if they win and they get on the board, obviously they can't get on the board. So their votes are not going to count. Now, the question, you know, now becomes, well, should we tell everybody, is the election still valid? Yes, the election is still valid. It should still go on. And two, should the board tell people? The problem with telling people at this point is it's not fair to the people that are running and all those, you know, 90% of the votes were already cast. The remaining people have a smaller field to choose from. And I think it hurts and disenfranchises the votes of the people who already voted. So I think the idea is just not to say anything. Let's see how it plays out at the election, and if that person wins, you just their votes don't count. Period. Okay. Thanks for the call, Joan. How about we go to DeNice in Delray? DeNice. For those of you who have seen that crazy video of the angry teacher yelling at the student, you will know exactly why I'm calling her DeNice. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It will make you laugh hysterically. So, DeNice in Delray, how are you?
Do I have to be nice?
No.
You don't have to be nice, no.
Thank you for taking my call. I actually have two questions. The most important one concerns our elections. We have had two people, myself and one of our snowbirds, who has been up in New York since April and is still not back.
Pull the phone away.
Are the only ones who have submitted to run to the board. They were both on the board last year.
Hold on. Wait, Denise, slow down. Two people submitted their names to be on the board.
Right.
And you're saying it's the same two people that have been on the board from last year?
Yep.
Okay. So far, not a problem?
No, it's not a problem. We know that we can name people to the board after our annual meeting.
Right.
Also having trouble getting people to be named to the board.
Okay, so how big is your board supposed to be?
3 to 5.
Okay, so you only had two people submit their names. I hear you. So it's
right.
going to be two or three
other people who may submit their names.
Who may or may not submit their names, you don't know. Okay, but if only two people submit their names, those two people get on the board. There's a vacancy to be filled, and it can be filled with the vote of the two board members that get on. Period. That's now who filled. The unit owners had the chance to fill that spot. They didn't do it. Well, now the board members themselves can fill that spot.
Right, and I am actively looking for people to fill at least one spot.
Right.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay.
We have a very young community, and they don't want to be bothered.
Well, yeah, I understand, and not much
and
you can
I
do.
Have used the terminology, the state will take over.
No, that's not true. No. Hold on. Slow it down. Now, the only time that the state will take over is if you can't get a quorum of board members, okay? So you're supposed to be a three-person board. You got two people running for the board. That's okay. You're not going to get taken over. But what you're referring to, and real quickly I'll tell people how it works, in condo and I believe HOAs as well, condos and HOAs, if there's not enough people that show interest in the board, and this is something to really think about, any unit owner has the right, after posting notice on the property, to ask the court to appoint a receiver to run the affairs of the association. Instead of an elected board, a judge can appoint a receiver to run the affairs of the association if the association can't get a quorum of board members, right? People interested enough to be on the board. Now, let me say this. It's pretty important what Denise's call touches upon, and it's really the cost of the receiver and why you don't want a receiver in your community, right? When people get on the board, as you know, they serve for free, right? Nobody's getting a salary. If you are, you need to be arrested. Now, if you get on the board, if a receiver is appointed by a judge to run the affairs of the community, that receiver is typically an attorney, right? I've been appointed by courts to represent, condos and as the receiver. That receiver is now getting paid a high hourly fee to be your board of directors. And your assessments will no doubt go up, or you will be specially assessed for the privilege of having a receiver run the affairs of your community. So, Denise, I will tell you, beg, borrow, and steal. Try to do whatever you can to get that third person on the board, because the last thing you want is a receiver. Okay? How about we go to Norma in Sarasota?
Hey, Norma.
Thank you.
Sure. Good morning, Norma. How are you?
Just fine. Our association requires an owner, or allows an owner to have one pet at under 15 pounds. And we follow all the laws concerning support animals and emotional support animals. We do have another policy that says guests cannot bring pets or animals to visit. My question is, because we do vet the emotional support animal for the owner, are we required to allow a guest to bring emotional support animal when they're visiting for one day or a week or during season?
You know, there's no, I don't know the answer 100%, but I don't think there's any law that I'm aware of that where the association owes that same duty that it owes to the unit owners to non-unit owners and guests. So I think, and I'll check this week, and I'll be glad to follow up next week if I'm wrong, but the way I understand the law is no, you owe no obligation for somebody else with an emotional support animal who's not an owner, who's not a tenant, to allow them onto the property with their emotional support animal. Now, service animal is different.
Right.
Service animal is definitely different. You deny somebody with a service animal, you're going to get sued. But if you deny, I don't believe the same law applies for someone that's asking for permission, you know, basically a stranger to the community, coming into the community with their animal. Matter of fact, I know that there's a sign when I go visit my mom that right at the guard gate, you're not passing here with an animal, period.
Oh.
So, you know, even
so
if
you have to get out of the car when you're with her.
Even if I say, you know, it's my emotional support animal. Bottom line is, Neil, I don't think you're getting past that guard gate. They don't have to let visitors in with even emotional support animals. Service animals, yes. Emotional support animals, I think the answer is no.
You know, some airlines are not allowing that.
There's no time to vet one when they show up as a guest.
Right.
Right.
Here.
If they're here, you can't turn. The question is, can you turn them away, I think is what you're asking me. And I think the answer is yes, you can. I think you can turn a guest away that says, no, we don't allow, you know, only unit owners are allowed to have emotional support animals here. I think you can. Okay? Thanks for the call, Norma.
Okay,
appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
All right, let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. Keep the calls coming. Don't wait until the end where so many people oftentimes get shut out. Call in now. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Is your condominium or HOA in need of accounting services? Look no further. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is one of South Florida's largest accounting and auditing firms, as recognized by the South Florida Business Journal, and is one of the few accounting firms uniquely specialized to provide accounting services to their growing condominium and homeowner association clientele throughout Florida. With primary offices in Aventura and Boca Raton, satellite offices in Naples and Orlando, and a professional staff of 65, Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg is prepared to meet the needs of any condominium or HOA in the state. The professionals at Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg also have experience working with timeshares, cooperatives, hotel condominiums, mixed-use buildings, and ancillary operations like restaurants, spas, and country clubs. Put their 25 years experience in your corner. Gerstle, Rosen & Goldenberg, 305-937-0116. That's 305-937-0116 or grgcpa.com.
If your association has ever been through a major restoration or renovation project, you know it can be a complicated, expensive, and stressful undertaking. Noise, dust, unexpected problems, and that C word no one wants to hear, change orders. But it doesn't have to be chaotic. DSS Condo is here to help you through the condo project management process. Most projects go over schedule and over budget. Without an expert, independent advocate in their corner, associations are exposed to cost overruns, low quality results, and long-term disruption for owners. DSS Condo is Florida's leading association project management firm. They provide tailored, expert construction management services for all types and sizes of association projects, helping you maintain control of the chaos. DSS Condo now offers customizable project management packages that can be modified to meet your association's needs and budget. And now, services Miami, Broward, Palm Beach, and Collier counties. Contact DSS at 305-985-3772 or by visiting dsscondo.com. That's 305-985-3772.
Is your condominium starting to crumble? Are your balconies breaking down? Are pieces of concrete and stucco flying off your building, making the building look ugly and putting your residents at risk? Are you in need of your 40-year certification for your building? If so, you need Carousel Development and Restoration right away. Carousel is a concrete restoration company specializing in high-rise condominiums throughout South Florida. Whether you need balcony repairs, garage decks, full deck replacement, rail fabrication and installation, impact windows and doors, or painting and waterproofing, Carousel has you covered. After all, we're South Florida's largest locally owned structural restoration contractor and have been located in Delray since 1979. We know how tough it is to start projects in your condo. Where do you begin? You begin by calling the licensed and insured experts at Carousel Restoration for a free estimate. 561-272-3700. That's 561-272-3700.
Or visit the website cdri.net.
Is your condo or HOA paying too much to heat the pool or spa? If so, now's the time to switch to geothermal technology with Symbiont Service Corporation. Geothermal technology with Symbiont Service is eco-friendly, green technology that harnesses the energy stored beneath the Earth's surface to heat and cool your swimming pool. Geothermal technology not only helps you reduce your carbon footprint, but rest assured, you can't beat geothermal for reliability and performance. It's even unaffected by air temperature. Best of all, Symbiont Service's geothermal solution heats like gas at a fraction of the cost and with a serviceable life expectancy of 15 to 20 years, which is 2 to 3 times as long as conventional pool heaters or more. And get this, geothermal technology by Symbiont Service can actually cool your pool in the summer months. Symbiont Service serves the entire state of Florida. Go geothermal now. Find out how Symbiont Service can heat or cool your pool and save you money. Call Symbiont Service at 800-881-4328. That's 800-881-4328. And to learn more about Symbiont Service and read the amazing customer reviews, visit geothermalflorida.com.
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer. He specializes in community association law, and lines are full with lots of questions in the new year. 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585.
All right. How about we go to Amy in Delray? Good morning, Amy.
Hi.
How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
With this COVID thing, we've had to have our monthly board meetings by Zoom. When we had our yearly board meeting and election in October, it was also done on Zoom. And they, the attorney as well as the board, said that there was no election because not enough people expressed interest. There was no quorum of people to hold an election.
Okay, so you live in an HOA? Do you live in an HOA?
It is an HOA. So, I mean, are we required to? I mean, with people wearing masks, why can't we hold a regular yearly board meeting with election
because,
in person versus?
I can tell you that almost every single association that I represent will not have, even with people wearing masks, will not have everybody gather in a room. In the condo building, even if they're wearing masks, they're not just not going to play it out that way. And in all candor, you know, I can't blame them. You know, the question is this: is it worth it to risk everybody's lives for the election? Is it really that important?
No,
of course not.
So
doing it by Zoom, I think, is perfectly fine.
But how do we know that there isn't a quorum of votes?
Well, there should be a camera set up in the room. Was there a room where the attorneys were running the meeting, for example? You said everybody was allowed to Zoom. So at that meeting, right, the attorneys can say, for example, I'm going to be handling one next week by Zoom, right? The ballots are all going to be brought to my office, right? Two unit owners are actually going to be allowed to come and assist. Only two, right? And they're going to be wearing masks, of course. And it's going to be totally broadcast by Zoom, so everybody in the community can see what we're doing. We're going to be opening the ballots. We're going to be verifying the signatures, counting the votes, et cetera.
Okay.
And, you know, whoever wins, wins. And I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. It keeps everybody safe. Now, in an HOA, it's a little harder to have an election now. Why? Because unlike in a condo, in an HOA, you need to have a quorum of people in attendance by person or by proxy, whereas in a condo, all you need is 20% of the people voting. So it might be a little harder in an HOA. But until this deadly virus has passed us, this is just the way it is, and it's understandable as far as I'm concerned. Okay.
But couldn't we do the same thing you just stated?
You can. Yes, in an HOA, you can have people send in their proxies, right? You can have people send in their proxies, absolutely. Lots of different ways that it's being done. But it even gets harder if nominations are allowed from the floor. Now what do you do, right? People first announce, you know, at the meeting, at the Zoom meeting, okay, I want to run. Now everybody has to take their ballots and somehow get them into the association. So some associations have said, okay, get them in. We're going to have somebody collect it from you. We'll announce the results tomorrow. And I think, you know, anything goes at this point that's a fair and honest way of doing it. I think that's the bottom line. Okay?
Okay, great.
Thanks, Amy.
The only other question I have is the number of board members. Our bylaws say that we shall have a minimum of 5, but no more than 9. And right now we only have 3.
Right.
And when people have expressed interest on being on the board, the president and vice president shoot it down.
Well, they were incorrect. If the bylaws require between 5 and 9, then bottom line is that's how many people need to be on the board, between 5 and 9.
Okay,
so I would say if 5 people run, those 5 people should be on the board.
Yeah.
All right. So the attorney saying that there is 5 people, even though there's 3 sitting.
Right.
There really isn't 5. It's 3 sitting.
Bottom line is, when all is said and done, if your documents say between 5 and 9, when that election is over, there should be 5 people at least taking seats on that board. Okay, Amy?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Now, Amy raises a really interesting issue, because she's in an HOA. Keep that in mind. Now, for those of you who are in condos out there, if your documents have that same language that calls for a range in the number of directors, like no less than 3, no more than 7, no less than 5, no more than 9, and a lot of you have language in that. Now, arbitrators who work for the State of Florida Division of Condominiums, they have interpreted that statute to mean that anytime there's a range, no more than X, no less than Y, that number is automatically 5. Okay?
Right.
So you got to look at your documents. In a condo, if you have that range, arbitrators have determined the number is automatically 5. Keep that in mind in a condo. Okay, Joe in Lando Lakes. Didn't they name a butter or a margarine after that town,
yes,
Karen?
They
right?
Did.
They did, right?
The Lando Lakes lady.
Yeah, what's that all about? How are you, Joe?
Do you make butter
That's in Wisconsin.
Okay. So there's 2 places called Lando Lakes? Now I know.
Pardon
you
me?
Learn something every day. There you go. How are you, Joe?
Good, and thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Also regarding elections and submission of candidates, there seems to be conflicting verbiage, not in statute, but that which is used by a management company. Statute says that a candidate has to give written notice at least 40 days prior to, but it doesn't specify how. I'm assuming that if someone submits an application, an intent to run, via USPS, certified mail, return receipt, prior to those 40 days, and as you stated earlier, the mail is not what it is conventionally.
Yes.
But the letter was postmarked, the receipt was postmarked prior to the 40 days, but the management company is maintaining that because it was received 38 days prior to the election, that the candidate is not eligible. Could you
now, the management company is right. The management company is right on that one, okay? It has to be received. It's not a question of when it was mailed. You can't wait until the 40th day and put it in the mail, because, you know, it could take a week or so to get to actually get to where it needs to be. And the association has a right to send out that second mailing between 14 and 40 days before the election. So, you know, if you allow somebody to send it on the 38th day, technically the association had the right 2 days ago to mail out the second notice. So it's late. Bottom line is it's late after 40 days. Now, you do raise another issue, though. How can you make sure, with the mail being the way it is? I mean, I've never seen it this slow. I can tell you I've sent out letters and packages and stuff weeks ago that have not gotten to their destination, and I'm talking about within Florida, right? And I'm tracking stuff every day, and I see it. Like, just 2 weeks ago, I mailed out something, and people still haven't gotten it. So the mail is going through hell right now. But there's other ways, dude, if you want to be a candidate for the board, that you can get your notice of intent in. You can do it by fax. You can do it by email. You can do it by, you know, overnight mail. Any way that you can basically prove that the association got it will get you on that ballot as a candidate. And the Florida Administrative Code allows for that. Okay? So if you're worried that it's not going to be in on time, fax it over, email it over. You know, just make sure they get it in some other form or fashion.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. You got it. Thanks for the call, Joe.
Yes.
How about we go to Jerry in Coconut Creek?
Morning, Eric. Happy New
hey,
Year.
Happy
Thanks
New Year to you.
My call.
Sure thing. What's
Eric,
up?
Eric, I have a quick question for you about material alteration. In a condominium setting, as where I live, we have all our entrance doors exactly the same. 8-panel entrance door. Now, if one of those doors would be replaced with a different type of door, not the same as the others,
right,
is that considered a material alteration?
Yeah, if it's going to look different, be of different material, yes, it's going to be considered.
The material is probably the same. It's a metal-clad door, but instead of the 8 embossed squares, it's 4 big ones and 2 small ones.
Uh-oh.
Well,
yeah.
Can
it looks completely different than any other doors.
Well, yeah, then to me it can be considered a material alteration, yeah. Absolutely. Now the question is it still possible to get a door that looks the same as the ones that are already there? Is it possible to get it? If the answer is...
We're having a problem here with one person, and Does that require a city permit to put a front entrance door on?
Don't know if it requires a permit. Is it going to be hooked up to any electrical whatsoever? Is there going to be a magic eye or something that opens the door for you?
Yeah.
If there is,
check that out.
Well,
thank you very much.
You got it. Yeah. All right, you didn't hear me, but the bottom line is, if that door is going to be hooked up to like an electric eye or something like that, yes, then a permit is probably going to be required. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, permits required for almost everything.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how you can get in trouble for not having.
Oh, and then you
got to
undo it. I know.
Yeah, you put right, and then you undo it, and you know, you put up anything in your house. You can even put up cabinetry. Does it require a permit?
Yes.
Yes, it does. Almost anything does, especially if you're changing your kitchen around, you're adding electrical sockets or stuff like that, 100% need a
permit.
Don't
you watch HGTV, people?
Who do we got left? We got Joan in Hollywood?
Yeah, you've got 2 calls.
Who we got? David and Boca. All right,
David,
let's go to David and Boca. How are you, Dave?
Good morning, Eric. I appreciate your show. I enjoy it very much.
Thank you so much. How can we help?
I have a question that relates to pools. It seems like Dr. Fauci is making up these rules on pools in South Florida. One day you ought to wear a mask, one day you shouldn't be a mask, one day you should be in a plane, one day you shouldn't be in a plane.
Like a Dr.
How do
Seuss-
we know what are the rules this week?
Okay, what county do you live in? You're in Boca, so you're in Palm Beach County. So if you would go to, and you got to do some digging, and unfortunately sometimes it's not easy. It's not like they made these things very easy to find on the website. But I would go to the Palm Beach County website, right? Play around on the Palm Beach County website, and you'll see various orders. And even type in the word swimming pools, right? And in the search bar. And it will take you to, typically, the latest order that the county has in place regarding swimming pools. Now, the way I understand it, what's in place when it comes to swimming pools now, again, if the board can comply and ensure compliance with CDC and the county regulations, the board can open the swimming pool. Must the board open the swimming pool? Absolutely not. The board is under no obligation to keep the swimming pool open. Boards have the authority to keep it closed at this point if they cannot comply with the CDC regulations. What are those regulations, at least at this point, Dave, that I understand it? There's got to be social distancing maintained, right? Everybody got to wear masks in the pool. And if you're going to leave the pool furniture out, right, you have to have somebody actually standing there making sure social distancing is being observed. But if the pool furniture is removed, then you don't have to have somebody watching everybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the way I understand what most counties are doing at this point.
So what if you just come and roll out a towel and lie on the cement?
Well, I guess that's not considered pool furniture, so you know it seems like it's okay.
Oh, my God.
But, you know, from county to county, these rules change.
Yeah.
And like Dave says, I remember when Fauci was on TV in the beginning saying masks are really not going to do anything at this point, and then obviously completely changed his mind. So did this current U.S. Surgeon General. So I get it. It sometimes changes. I don't know about week to week,
okay,
but it change, certainly changes from month to month.
I'm going
to
interject this. I have searched the internet, and it's a Fauci deal. One person says one thing, one person says another.
Dave, give me a call. Yeah, wait, hold on.
Yes.
Dave, we got to run. Okay, sorry, but call us in the office tomorrow. I'd be glad to walk you through it, all right? We'd love to take your call and help you out tomorrow, but we got to run. We need to go. We are out of time. Great first show for the year, Ken. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You guys kept us busy for the first show of the year from beginning to end. Much appreciated. Remember to sign up for the Board Cert Legal Update course. And if you need help during the week, give us a call at Glazer and Sachs, 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. And we'll talk to you again next Sunday at 11 a.m.
Thanks, Eric.
Okay, have a great week, everybody.
Be friends, I can't.